My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman. We will be waiting for you here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
You are listening to Fallen Woman, and I'm Velocity Child at Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here with the bouncy ball guy, Mr. Gorgeous.
Hey,
how's that ball?
My God, Velocity, this exercise ball is giving me life.
Yeah, it's Femme Appeal's favorite spot whenever she's on the show.
That's usually my seat.
Really?
Yeah. I think almost all the ones that I've done have sat on that one.
Well,
yeah.
I will.
Because I'm like the baby. I'm the baby of the group. So, like, I'm not going to make Joe Coleman sit on it. That was the 4th of July party last year. And then there was another. It was like me and Joe Boobs and. And I was like, I'm 25. I can sit on a fan bouncing ball. Like,
I forget that you're 25.
When I'm done with
freaky.
It, I will Lysol it and then you can use it next time.
I don't even Lysol it.
Okay.
You don't talk like a 25-year-old.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't like other 25-year-olds.
No. Oh. But you didn't like other kids either.
No. When I was 14, I ran with the local roller derby league, and all of them were in their late 20s and early 30s. So all of my friends when I was 14 were in their late 20s and early 30s.
Wow.
And now, like, still in touch. Now they all have like kids and are married and stuff. And they're like, hey, wanna like come back and hang out with us? Or like, oh, we're going to Disney. Do you wanna like, we know you love Disney. Do you wanna come and like play nanny and like come to Disney with us and we'll pay for it?
Was that a hard no?
No, it wasn't. No, I've been thinking about it.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I got
a fucking
invitation to my, it's passed, I didn't go, my 15th year high school reunion. The people, if any of you are listening,
you couldn't pay me enough.
You might have been one of the ones I liked, but in general, I had a very hard time in high school.
Yeah, likewise.
Mostly because I actually wasn't confident enough to just like do what I wanted to do. I was trying to fit in with everybody, and that never actually worked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no fucking way am I going to go back there. But I look at some of the people, and I'm like, ooh. You're working your 9 to 5, you have the crying kids at home, and some people like that, but I'm like, you know what? Even though I'm sometimes living month to month, I'm living my life in New York City.
Yeah.
Doing what I want to do.
Hand to mouth than have like a husband and children.
And have a baby's hand in my mouth. I don't want that.
Yeah, they love that shit.
Babies put their hands anywhere.
Yeah. My friend Amelia in Portland has the cutest baby.
Just wipe their butt and put it right in your mouth.
Yeah. But Rocky is like my dream baby. He's the cutest thing in the world. And she posts photos of him.
Well, the name is already advanced.
Yeah. He already is going to be a really fucking cool kid. And he is just the cutest baby. And I'm like, if I could if she could birth another Rocky and give it to me, I'd be a single dad and it'd be great.
Wow.
No, children are terrible. My sister has one, and I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Now she has another one on the way. I'm like, stop there. I can't afford presents for more than two.
I could, right? Here's the thing. I think I could actually have, I could deal with it. I could have a child. I think I'd be happy with it. As long as it.
It. Thank you.
All right, that's already a sign that maybe I should have a child.
Okay.
But like, I think that the biggest stress would be having to like, actually provide the financial, and it's not so much like the, because I'd have a nanny and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't need to actually wipe his ass. But like, I could provide fun, I could provide costuming for the child.
Which is very important. Well, I was a dressing kid growing up, so that is very important.
Oh my God.
I was telling you earlier that my niece...
Think of all the baby costumes you could make.
Well, this is the thing. My niece is, not even four, and I've been cranking out Leos for her. She's not doing ballet.
Oh.
Those things are covered in more Swarovski stones than her own mouth.
All her friends must be jello.
They don't even have a clue.
They don't even know what
she's
Swarovski
They don't have a clue. All they're doing is rolling around on the grass with those fucking $100 miniature baby body suits.
Well, you know what? That just shows that when you're rolling in it and she's 18, you'll be rhyme-setting a pair of Louboutins that you bought.
Right?
So
well,
it's
you know,
It will progress as time goes on. Because I've been knitting for my nephew.
Babies crying just totally trigger me. They make me kind of insane.
It makes me want to drop whatever I'm holding.
It's kind of why I know. It's kind of why I know I'm not mother.
I'm usually holding liquor, so it doesn't make me want to drop whatever I'm holding.
I'm usually holding the baby. There's something about me, even though I have the best intentions, that babies get the sour face right when they get passed off to me. Yeah, and then I'm like, okay. And then I get nervous, and that's why I cry. Because I'm shaking them so much.
Because they're like dogs. Oh. I thought it was like because they're like dogs and they can sense it, but it's, you're just physically shaking them.
No, I'm physically shaking them.
Yeah. No, I can't. I would get very nervous if someone passed me a baby. I'm like, no, because like, not to me. This is my twist.
You're like, sorry, my muscles have atrophied. I can't hold a baby.
Yeah.
Why won't you stop crying?
Shake the baby all the way to the dumpster.
Oh my god, I love it.
I'll probably never have kids because I am
couture.
The epitome of selfish. And I'd be like, oh, this week I need to buy like 7,000 Swarovskis so I can't buy food.
So I can't buy your baby food.
And like, people are like mad about that.
And that it's not my fault I don't have breast milk.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, it's transphobia.
Yes.
It's transphobic.
That's exactly what it is. But you know what would be a fucking amazing thing? Is imagine all the baby wigs you could style.
Well, that, like, okay, so I want to make Rocky, that baby in Portland that I'm obsessed with, him, his mom, and I've talked about...
Hold on. Rocky is a baby... was enough, but then the child lives in Portland, Oregon,
yes,
which you know that he's going to be riding a unicycle before a bike.
Yeah.
All right, keep going. Okay, now the child's going to have a wig while he's only...
So his mom and I have been trying to figure out how to find baby-sized wigs for me to style.
Angie Pontani puts them on her girl.
Wait, can we just talk about... Okay, so I was at my corset fitting with Speak
Sissy.
For Herself.
How old
and
Sissy?
Sissy and Sissy, Angie King.
Sissy Joe.
And yeah. Sissy
She's
2 years old?
Almost two.
She said a number when we asked, like a month number, and that like pisses me off like nothing else.
Yeah, people are like, how old's the baby? It's 89 weeks. Tell me
how
old it is.
How many months?
You know what, Angie was, I was like, God, how many, like, Angie said something. She's like, oh no, after 2 years, you stop. So she's like, just under 2 years, because like, I commented on it. But Sissy was so fucking cute and super shy, and it was really adorable.
She's advanced.
But, yes, because she, of course, found the costume room at Calamity Chang's house.
Oh, yeah.
And was playing with all of Calamity's costumes. But I had never met Angie before.
Oh, Angie's great.
And Angie is, Angie's one of the kind of, like, names that you learn really quick in the burlesque world. And I had never met her before. She was super, super sweet. I was so hungover and looked like trash. And she, like, still conversed with me. But I've never seen someone with whiter teeth in my entire life.
And Angie or the baby?
Angie. And I just wanted to, like, lick her teeth. Like, I just wanted to, like... It was, like... They were just so white. Oh, God. It was
I'm
like,
getting you chickles
almost
for
erotic
Christmas.
For me. It was, like... Yeah.
Yeah. Angie's pretty great. And the baby's amazing.
Sissy is so cute. And she was dressed adorably, which I think Angie was saying she picked it out herself.
I'm pulling up a photo. So Angie last year was like, hey, could you do me a favor? Would you be interested in like designing Sissy's Halloween costume?
Oh my God.
And I was like, of course I would. What do you want her to be? And of course you're thinking, like in my mind, I'm like, oh, she's going to be like, something cute, like a butterfly, a little baby
ladybug.
Thing.
Ladybug.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be adorable. I was like, what's it going to be? Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
So, wait till you see this photo. Sorry, people on the radio.
The photo
looks really cute, so when I find it, you'll all have to just, like...
I was like, is that on
it's
your
a
Instagram?
Two-year-old
or it's on
like
Angie. It's on Angie. So you can go and look at... So, you can look for it on Angie's Instagram.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's, which
Angie
is it just
Pontani.
Angie Pontani, yeah. It's just...
Look, Angie ain't even here, and she's getting the shout-outs. Love it.
Sissy is getting the shout-outs. Angie
Sissy
just gets
Joe
them by, like...
is a little celebrity.
As she should be.
She's got the makings.
Well, you're pulling that up. I'll show
you
what Rocky looks like.
She came out of quite a beautiful woman.
Oh, you got it.
Oh my god. The little ear flaps are so cute.
Will you make me a creature
from the
Black Lagoon?
Yeah, the little creature from the Black Lagoon ear flaps even. It's the little Black Lagoon onesie.
And you know, there you can't see it in the photo, but there are some little stones hidden in some of the roughage.
Yes, oh my god.
Isn't that cute? Oh
my god. Okay, right. So Angie has killed it with Sissy. And, okay, so this is Rocky Rockford. He's the cutest little...
Oh, my God.
Cutest little baby. And if you
I
follow...
I never thought we would get tipsy on
Miss
wine and talk about babies.
Fruit wine.
Miss Amelia Hart on Instagram. You can see Rocky. Miss Amelia Hart. Rocky has a best friend who's a pit bull. His name is Rowdy.
The pit bull.
So it's Rowdy
really
and Rocky.
Cute.
And they're in love. And Rowdy doesn't... Like, just...
I can tell from that blanket they live in Portland.
Yep. Oh, yes they do. So, yeah, if you want to see what we're talking about, you can follow Miss Amelia Hart and see the cutest baby in the world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, babies, I don't know.
I would never want one, but I love to think about other people having them. But not, like...
We're
not
overpopulated.
Seeing it more for, like, 10, 20 minutes.
You know what I love with babies? And I just saw it, a little post about... I love Kayvon and Anna's baby. They hold that child. He takes those photos of
all those silly,
amazing,
like, so adorable photos.
Outfits, and then it's just this little baby. Oh, it's so adorable. I love it. I fucking love
it's
it.
So silly.
I love it.
She was also the most beautiful pregnant woman. I have to say, when she was pregnant, it was like it was a year ago. I think she was still pregnant.
It made me want to be pregnant.
I assume you tried hard, and maybe someday.
I'm doing what I can.
Exactly.
You're putting the hours in.
That's what matters. But she was the most beautiful pregnant woman. I remember a year ago yesterday, Dylan Monroe died, so like this week was the memorial.
Oh, I was so sad about
that. That was the worst day of my life, completely. But at the memorial, Anna just, like...
One of the kindest people I've ever met in nightlife.
Ever. When I lost my job, I was working at Lush Cosmetics, and they fired me, which is really funny, and everyone that I know that works for Lush is like, oh my god, they're such a great company. I was like, fuck them. Fuck them, and fuck the woman that ran the Union Square store, but now it's closed. I was like, fuck them. I hate that, which I don't hate that company, because I still buy their products. It took me a couple years to get back into buying their stuff. But
I love their rose jam body soap.
It's so... My favorite was always the salt scrub.
Talk
that
about...
That stuff's pretty amazing.
I gotta say, when we talk about soap, Velocity, the soap that you just presented...
Aww.
Smells so good.
Thank you.
Magic.
Thank you.
You're gonna sell
well,
it, right?
Well, an actual magic, too.
Yeah, I set up an Etsy store.
Ooh.
House of Hag.
Yes.
Spelled H-A-U-S of Hag. Yes.
That smells so good. I can't wait to use it tomorrow.
Doing candles and spell bowls and spell bottles. And special curiosities.
I love it. The soap smelled so fucking good, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm very excited to use that.
Which one did you prefer? Did you like the...
The one that has the lavender finish.
The psychic self-defense soap. Yeah.
See, the other one, I like them both. The other one, I was
the love and lust one. Yeah, you like that one. That was Rose Absolute and Lang Lang.
Oh, Lang Lang is, that makes sense.
And then
why is that not somebody's name yet?
Right?
It's gotta be.
Lang Lang?
Lang Lang, girl.
Lang Lang.
That would be such.
Is the Y silent? I've never been able to figure it out.
Yeah, it has to be.
Lang Lang?
Lang Lang. I think it's just Lang Lang, because it wouldn't be Ylang Ylang. That's silly.
That's like a bad country western mail order bride song.
Which I do enjoy.
What a good mail order bride.
My dad has a mail order bride.
What?
No.
Why have we not been talking about that for how long?
Let's get to that.
Okay, so so I haven't talked to my dad in years. So,
I'm taking notes.
My dad...
Did she come in a box?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
You said, I don't know.
I wish, but I don't know. So, my dad has one arm, which is just Is it bad to say that's funny to start?
It's very Twin Peaks. It's
well, that's well, he like so he lost his
the one-armed man and the mail order.
So
bride.
He lost his arm a little bit before Twin Peaks started.
Just recently?
No, before the original run of
Twin
Peaks.
2 decades ago.
Okay, yeah, over 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So before I was born. And
so his arm is old news.
Yes,
God,
completely old news. So he's an asshole driving like a fucking asshole like he always did. And his motorcycle, and he got into an accident and lost from his right arm from the elbow down. And then soon after was Twin Peaks, and the one-armed man was a thing. So that was something that followed him for a really long time. And I remember that being brought up as a kid and not knowing what it meant. And then I watched Twin Peaks, and I was like, oh my God, that's what they were referencing. My parents were okay. They were pretty cool that they were referencing Twin Peaks at one point. But he has... My parents divorced when I was like 7 or 8.
So
and then
ask your dad how the Red Room or the Black Lodge is doing.
He's like he probably saw Twin Peaks and didn't retain it because he's a loser. But
how do you really feel?
That's not even yeah. So then I don't know, 10 years not a little bit more than 10 years ago, or a little less than 10 years ago, he got his he was dating a woman from Russia that moved to Massachusetts and married him fairly quickly, named Olga.
Ah.
Her name was Olga, and she came
I'm
from
so
Russia.
Glad her name was
and
Olga.
I'm like,
she's
an internet
bride.
She's an internet bride. Mail order bride. She was a mail order bride.
Wow.
And she was like, she had like some real ass job in Russia, but she wanted to move to the US. Her daughter was a ballerina, so I have a stepsister that's a ballerina, I guess. Which, God, how stereotypical. I never met her.
You're
I
Russian
think.
Yourself, aren't you?
No, I'm Polish.
Okay.
So that Russian culture, I know nothing about it.
I confused the last name.
See, oh, yeah. The Tsar, yes.
It sounds
Tsar. Tsar Tsar, yes.
Sounds so Russian, yeah.
But yeah, he has a mail order bride. And I was the only one that was like, okay, I'll go to the wedding. And so I went to the wedding, and I was in my grandmother's living room. It was ridiculous.
In the wedding was in your grandmother's living room?
And no one was happy. No one was happy about it. All of us were just there.
Was Olga and
there.
So it was Olga and Masha?
Probably Masha, yes. Masha. Masha wasn't there, or whatever her name is.
Wow.
I don't even know her name. They've been married for probably close to 10 years. I have no idea what her daughter's name is.
The mother, during the wedding, the mother was like, you better stand in first position.
She, and then
Melania?
And Olga Melania. I think his daughter's name, her daughter's name is Melania.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Maybe married to someone now, I don't know.
Yeah.
And she works for Amtrak now, and I blame her for all the duplicates.
Oh, no.
But I am always like, oh, shit, I gotta go somewhere. Instead of taking a bus, I should take Amtrak. And then I was like, oh, but I have to call my dad. Never mind, we'll take a bus. Are your parents still together?
Yeah, so I have...
That's insane.
That's really
that's
rare.
That's insane.
That's fucking crazy.
So this is...
That's crazy.
This is kind of a...
I'm glad I didn't answer your question, because things would have gone down very... Rapidly
ooh, let's
dark,
hear it then. Answer the question.
So
well, we've
bad.
Talked. I feel like we've talked about your like when we've been here. We've talked about like family. We talked about religion.
Sure.
That's what it was.
Religion.
We talked about religion last
oh, yeah.
time, and we talked a bunch about your Southern family.
Yeah, crazy.
So we've
stuff.
Gone in that rabbit hole.
Yeah. So you were gonna say, Mr. Gorgeous?
I don't have anything to say.
Well, your parents are still married.
Yeah,
that's
we're,
wild.
We're getting onto that freak train about these married
well,
parents.
Well, I mean, I feel like
we're completely blown away.
Well, what's funny is like I feel like in my family, I'm the total wackadoo.
Well, duh.
Like I'm not that weird.
You are.
I'm not.
Have you seen the movie
well,
Man
okay.
on the Moon yet?
No.
You need. I keep every time you're on my show, I keep begging you to see this movie because. I believe you are the Andy Kaufman of Boylesque. I think that is straight up your sense of humor.
All right, I'm going to look it up.
You embrace the sense of the absurd.
But
you are
not that weird. You are a total wackadoo. I guess I really only know, as we've discussed, I only know performance you. And that we don't know each other outside of the
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, but that's me. But that what I do on the stage is
yeah,
right.
So you're a total wackadoo.
I'm a wacko, but me and my both my parents are still, my parents are together. I have a brother who's great. They're all very supportive of what I do. And I grew up with...
Wait, what does your brother do?
He's a graphic designer.
You don't do dark. You might be wackadoo, but you're not dark. Like, I don't see you doing...
I don't do, because...
Savior for parents.
Well, for me, that's not part of, like, what... Doesn't...
It's not your mojo.
It doesn't, no. It just doesn't get
me going.
It
wouldn't make sense, even. Yeah. Like, for what you do.
And that's kind of where I think you remind me of Andy Kaufman, too, because he was also absurdist, but he had a light quality about him.
Yeah, I think that that's important. For me, it is. I love and can appreciate when other performers don't need to go there. Mm-hmm. I say need to go there because I feel like that's often my default is comedy, is to make things funny.
Well, but that's entertainment.
Yeah, I guess I just, like, I, in general, for me, my whole point of doing burlesque in general was I had actually no interest in you taking my clothes off. That wasn't a part of it. I just...
Well, I'm happy that changed.
Well, you know.
Me too.
Thanks.
I'm pleased that changed, people.
Thanks. You know, every now and then I'll show a little bit of what I... have.
Yeah. What your mother gave you?
Yeah. You know, never had a complaint.
What your undivorced parents gave you?
Yeah.
Well, they refer to what I do as... They
How many years have they been married?
A lot. They've been married probably like 38.
We didn't both
to say that. Yeah.
38. How old am I?
Yeah.
32. I'll be 33 in September. What was I saying?
They were married a long time.
They were married a long time.
Oh, yeah, married 38 years.
Like, basically, it was like I grew up church every Sunday. The entire family sat down for dinner every night at 6 o'clock.
Lots of structure.
5 o'clock at my house, yeah.
A lot of structure, but yeah. At the same time, like, my parents were always like, you know, my mom, when I'd come home from school, there was just, like, bins of pom-poms and pipe cleaners and shit. She was just like, make stuff. Here's all these things. It was always, like, a very... Oh, that makes him happy? Let's get more of that. It was never like, he doesn't play... You know, I did all the sports. I did basketball.
But they nurtured your imagination.
Like, they did. And they realized, like, you know, the costumes suck in basketball.
Yes,
like,
they
that's
do.
That's just the kind of stuff that, like, I don't...
Yes.
I don't do that. So they saw what I did well and what I liked, and that's what they, like, fostered. So now I feel like coming out to them was the most terrifying thing ever.
I was just going
to
ask you when you did.
What was your biggest
recently,
fear?
My biggest fear was this, was that my parents, I came out to them probably four years ago. And it was because I was dating Jason at the time, yep. Another performer in the New York scene. And it was getting to the point where it was kind of like fucked up to refer to him as my roommate every time I was talking on the phone.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like, hey, it would be really great if you would do this. And I thought to myself, all of a sudden, I'm not going to one day decide, like, oh, I don't want a dick in my mouth. But, like, this is going to happen forever. So I decided to say something. But the biggest fear was that they have been so incredibly supportive and so extremely...
fear of disappointing
open.
Them.
Yeah, it was like, oh, my gosh, they've done all... Like, you know, my mom even did stuff where it was like she found out... what colleges we were interested in our neighborhood. She quit her job and decided to work like a secretarial position at the colleges we might go to so we'd get a break in tuition. Like, they did all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
It was like whatever they could do first, they did.
Wow.
So for me,
amazing.
It was like, if the one thing that they really want is for me to like grow up to be like a good guy with like the kids and the wife and the job that I love,
you feel
like
obligated.
I felt like that was the dream that they maybe had hoped I would have. So I felt this sense of like, fuck, if I say something and I let them down, this is the one thing that I could maybe follow through, the one thing that might fuck it up. And it felt like such a big risk. Instead of, if my parents were like assholes, I'd be like, fuck you, I'm gay, fuck you, I don't fucking care.
Fuck you, yeah.
But with this, it was like, ooh. But comedy got me through all of it. And it was also like, you know, I remember the first time going back to church with my parents for Christmas, which I don't go to church anymore, but I went... go Christmas and Easter, and like walking through the door of the church with my mom, and I turned to my mom and my first step in the church, and I said, Mom, I'm feeling really, really hot. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, I just think I'm about to burst in flames. And it was like, then we both just laughed our asses off walking to the pew. It was like, you know, that kind of thing where it's like comedy has always been the buffer for me.
The bomb. That's great. Yeah.
I came out at like 16.
Did you really?
Yeah. Well, like, I haven't talked to my, like, I don't talk to my dad, so, like, I guess I never came out to him, but I'm like,
the one-armed man.
Yeah, you know. I was like, when would I?
You were
I
like,
talk to you.
You were like, Dad, raise your hand if you have a question.
Yeah, no, so, but yeah, like.
That's fucked up. I'm sorry, Dad.
I was
going to
say something more fucked up. Oh, my God.
And, like,
I was like.
It's not like he's listening.
Clap if you love gay.
Clap, or I was going to say something even worse. Don't get mad that I'm gay just because you can't do the YMCA.
Oh, no.
Guys, we're going to get in trouble for this section.
Good.
Right?
I'll send it to my dad.
Well, you know.
I'll send it to my
sometimes
dad and be like,
it's just homespun and sincere.
Homespun.
Can take the PC and fuck off.
They can. It's true. They know that I love them.
But you...
Sometimes.
Oh.
Sometimes.
I got nothing but love. I don't got room for all this. You know, that's the thing I have to say. We were talking earlier about, like, social media and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I hate talking about that shit, so I don't even know why I'm bringing it up. But I just realized more and more, I'm like, I cannot deal with, in this day and age, where everything is so political and everybody's angry.
Oh my God,
everybody's
so
it's like,
quickly.
It's I'm just so done with all of it. It's like, do you know what I want to do? Dress up like a crab at 1:30 in the morning and make people smile a minute. Like, I don't want to argue.
Yes. And totally. And in New York, we come from and have our elders are still here working with us. Uh-huh. And they shape. We have Rosewood still actively here. We have Johnny Dynell still DJing actively, like, everywhere. We have...
Scott Ewald.
We have Scott.
Whole
yeah.
Crew.
Yeah. We have... everyone around.
Yeah.
And they're here and shaping us to be weirdos. And then we have RuPaul, who is a Atlantean move New Yorker, and Lady Bunny.
And Chichi Valenti.
And Chichi. But, like, with, like, Lady and Rue, they're the least PC
Michael
people
for
of
Micah
the,
Jones.
Yes.
Very
and all
un-PC.
Of these people are... And Michael T.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, we have all these people that, like, it's a different era of the realm that we live in. So we live in kind of this New York bubble where this pop, like, this PC culture doesn't mesh with us because it's not the nightlife upbringing that we're part of. But also, everyone's very conscious of what's right and what's wrong. Like, no one's doing anything in a malicious way.
For the most part, exactly. Like, but you know what's funny is that you say that, and I felt
I think
this...
privilege is very much attached to PC.
Yes.
And I think people from my generation, I'll claim Gen X, punk rock generation, post-hippie, pre-90s, was very... very let's combative because we had to be.
That's real.
Gen X, punk rock, all that happened, all that stuff happened. It was a movement. It happened for a reason. Our approach to things, even heavy metal, our approach to things are a bit more aggressive and assertive when we fight for our rights. So we don't have time or the luxury to stop and wonder, oh, am I saying this word right? Am I doing that right? The most important thing from my generation, I believe, is that we believe that you have to fight the real enemy. And I just sort of feel that a lot of millennials feel like micromanaging and splitting hairs and turning on each other and us.
Yeah.
We're not the real enemy.
What's
really the problem?
Is the first community to immediately start bashing each other for un-PC things, where instead of talking like, oh, hey, this isn't something, like, oh, hey, we should change how we're talking about this. That isn't right. Let's not group all of these people together, or we're leaving people out of the LGBT world.
PC has
and
no sense of humor.
People are getting mad about it and not trying to educate. They're just trying to
thought crime it.
Well, they're just trying to yell at other people.
What's funny is saying that is that I sometimes think it's hilarious when someone's like working at one of like the New York clubs and it's like late night and like I'm about to do this act and the whole act is like, fuck you, I'm fucking gay, I'm gonna sit on a this and I can do whatever the fuck I want. It's like, hi, you're preaching to the choir. If there's somebody that has come to the basement of this club at 2:30 in the morning on a Saturday,
we're all doing that.
Believe it or not, those probably are not the people that you need to be screaming in their face. I've had more than one person, not more than two, so two people. I was like, I was about to play a numbers game, but then I realized it's just two.
It's just two.
But actually kind of critique my work because I'm not political. And I don't like to make statements, and I don't, because for me, what I would like to do is maybe bring a little bit of joy and a little bit of entertainment into people's lives and realize that sometimes it's okay to laugh at an adult human being dressed as a crustacean, you know, and there doesn't have to be anything beyond that but joy.
Yes.
You know?
No, and that's, like, as performers, that's what we're supposed to be bringing.
An escape.
Straight up, we are, yes, we're an escape from the outside world, and when you go in and you pick every little piece of it apart. I was going and working at the Huffington Post offices for the launch of their, like, pretty much what would be the equivalent of an adult, like, company's Gay Straight Alliance. Like, they were starting, like, an inclusive group for anyone that was on the queer spectrum or whatever, that, like, oh, instead of, like, if you think you have an issue at work, we'll have this group, but you can bring things up in your, like, among your queer peers instead of going to HR or before you go to HR. They're like, so they have this little group that, so they had me come in and perform. And I was texting people because I was coming in and performing. I was like, I'm doing two songs from the 50s. I know exactly what I'm doing. They're fine.
Performing where?
In their offices.
Okay.
In the Huffington Post AOL offices because they share a space. And so they hired me to come, like, do two numbers and host, like, a happy hour there. And that was fun. My friend James Michael works there, and I was excited to come do it, come see where he works. And here, like, he interviewed me years ago for the
Queer the job at Lush.
The one I got fired from, thank you.
Yeah.
For Queer Voices. And so, yeah, no, so it was nice to, like, see where my friend worked and whatever. And I was texting people when it came to my look. I was like, is someone going to call me on cultural appropriation for wearing leopard print? I was like, is that a thing? Like, I don't know. But then, like you were saying out when we were talking about costumes earlier.
Leopard print?
And everyone was like, no, you're an idiot. And I was like, well, you know what?
Leopard print.
Like, you have your tiki costume that you made, and you were getting shit for
tourist
it. And that's what, I was like, oh, is someone going to make that Polynesian connection of, like, oh, leopard print belongs to this culture, and you can't wear it. And I was like, so double check. And James laughed at me. He's like, I'm happy you're conscious of doing these things because of what our production company is. But that's fine. Like, I have some jewelry and stuff. Like, I have this brooch that's like a little 50s person wearing a turban, and it's like carved onyx face with like an amethyst crystal in the turban. And I was like, that I always wear my leopard print stuff.
But to me, that's very Norma Desmond.
Well, yes, exactly. And so that's why I wear it that way. And I'll always, and I do my like Norma Desmond like head wrap, turban, whatever you want to call it, to that kind of look. And I was like, I know I can't wear a head wrap or turban because that will be considered cultural appropriation, so I won't do that. So I had to wear a wig. And then I was like, I won't wear that jewelry, even though I wear it with this outfit all the time, because someone could consider that racial.
No, but at this point,
it's
that's just
carved
silly.
Black face. Like, it was like an onyx carved into a face. So I'm like, someone could call weird. I was just like, it's,
talk about
and
walking
it's this,
on eggshells.
And that's what it's coming to, like, these days. I'm
if
like,
you allow it.
Well, and that's, and I always have my
there
my
has
turban
to be
head wrap, to that. Like, my turban head wrap. Fall back where people are so quick to jump on you for wearing one as cultural like appropriative, and I'm always just like, well, here's a little backstory.
On some level, though, I get it where it's appropriate to have a group
to be concerned about
cultural appropriation, like Hollywood movies, for example.
Well,
you know, but a fashion decision is something else. Now you're discussing the concept of cultural segregation.
And it like breaks down into reference points.
It's no longer the melting pot if you're going to judge someone. Judge me because I want to wear a kimono and I don't have a drop of
And also
Eastern
at some point it becomes unfortunate. Because it doesn't allow anyone to actually experience some beautiful things that happen in other cultures.
Yes, that's the point.
Because
right.
Like, you don't get to learn about
other lives.
Cultures because you're not welcome to learn
but
about
But it's also
other
good
cultures.
To keep in mind that I would imagine that most folks, not most, but some folks that maybe make these decisions don't actually think them through. Like, it's already built into
yes.
your brain where it's like, you don't have to sit down and really be like, let me weigh up pros and cons. In your mind, you're like aware, you have the file cabinet of all of the, you know, respect you
yeah.
have for people in the world. So automatically you pull from that file cabinet, you're like, yes, no, could do that, maybe not, not right now, maybe in a year. You know, but it's like
right.
you do that inherently.
Yes.
Someone else, though, might
Doesn't.
Not. So I think it's also important for, like, because I think
consider
we have a very different, consider the source.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's, yeah, because, like, I'm not going to go into, like, Thoroughly Modern Millie,
I know you've met Dita Von Teese.
Yes.
I know you're an admirer of
very
her
much.
Work. And you respect her.
Oh, are we going to go into the opium den conversation?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to get another drink for this.
Yeah. Get a cocktail.
Do you want something?
Sure, if you can bring in that little sake bottle, I'll take a little nip of that.
Do you want something?
I just drank it all
you
already.
You just topped me off with that.
I'm okay. Everything else.
I'm just going to be topped off. So where were we, Mr. Gorgeous?
I don't know. I'm sitting
Have
on
you
this
seen
ball.
The Opium Den piece?
I performed in her show with the Opium Den.
Oh, it's a quite beautiful piece. I've seen it.
It's beautiful. It's extremely beautiful.
I wasn't a fan. I didn't. It's burlesque. You know, I don't think you're supposed to be offended with burlesque and vaudeville as much because that's what it was in the beginning. It was bucking the system.
Well,
you know?
I think that in
and
general, with that specific performance, I think that
Velocity of Song.
It,
oh, it's in the door.
Oh no, is
of
there
the
a problem with your
sake?
Okay.
I think that it is a lot of her performance, which I love this. I know there's more to it than this, but for me,
mm-hmm.
it is such a visual spectacle and a visual display.
I love the bed.
It's so unfortunate. Like, I kind of said it earlier a little bit. It's like, it's so unfortunate to not acknowledge the beauty of certain cultures and, like, the costuming and the makeup and the furniture
I
and the way
like
things...
She was honoring.
And she wasn't, like, doing... like taped back eye,
no,
like,
exactly.
No.
Like racist,
exactly.
Insanity.
But that part where she opens a fortune cookie, that's fucked up. I'm kidding. She doesn't open a fortune
like,
cookie.
I was like, bitch. I was like, I saw that number and I don't remember.
We both got very
no.
quiet. Like,
but you know what
was
I mean.
There a fortune?
No, there wasn't. I think that in that specific case, and I know someone will hear this and someone will argue with me. And God, I hate arguing,
me too.
So I'll just say what I'm going to say, and then I'm terrible at it, because at the end of the day, I always just don't have time to argue. I have shit to make. I have
yeah.
stuff to glue.
You have costumes
but,
to make for me.
You have to
I
make happy.
I have to make happy, and this is the thing, though, is that for me, I feel like oftentimes people see someone like Dita, who is an extremely, extremely hardworking businesswoman that has
mm-hmm.
built a career from the ground up.
An empire.
She has not
an
been
empire.
Handed
yeah,
anything.
It's not just a career, it's an entire empire.
It's a
yeah.
brand. She has not been handed a fucking thing. She has busted her ass for it. And the way I see it is, she is presenting a fucking gorgeous, stunning visual. And it's like, people want to come for it. Because they can't glue the shit on their costume. There's a lot of reasons. I'm
yeah.
not. This is
yeah.
one thing.
They don't have the money for all those Swarovskis that are on
no,
their costume,
like,
and they're mad
you know
about
what?
It.
In other words, what you're saying is it's a cheap shot.
It could be seen that way. I also
yeah.
there are some things not in the specific.
No,
reference.
I mean a cheap shot to criticize it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
I mean
there are some things that people have commented on. I'm not saying specifically with her, where I can say like, oh yeah, you know, I kind of get where you're coming
yeah.
from. But this is one of those things where I'm like, yo. I don't know, but also I'm like a.
It's tasteful.
I'm a. I'm a. I also have to like acknowledge because people don't know what I look like. I'm a middle-aged white.
You are not middle-aged.
I'm middle-aged.
Oh, Oh, you're middle aged for another 10 years.
I'm 32 year old.
That's
yeah,
not
that
middle
not
age.
Middle
I'm sorry, that's not middle
anymore.
Age. You are still
and
in my
like,
age bracket.
You're talking
about.
Like it's 1970.
But I'm trying to. Okay. 32 years old.
Like it's 1877.
I was going to say I'm middle class, but I'm actually poor as fuck, but I earn really hard every fucking dollar that I make. But I also feel very privileged that I can live and exist in New York City
yes.
as an artist. So I understand that, yes, I have privilege.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But at this, so I'm commenting, understanding who I am and what I have.
Right.
But for me, I'm like, come on, y'all. We can focus on some other issues.
Yeah.
That's my thing. When you look at this circumstance,
yeah.
I'm like, come on. Like, move on.
Do you think, yeah, her number...
Fight
like,
the real enemy.
In the, but I understand where people come from when they go into this, of course. But... numbers like Dita's Opium Den number, I'm like, that wasn't, it didn't seem like it was going into the realm of racial stereotypes,
no.
Like if you go to Thoroughly Modern Millie and have the, have you ever seen the 60s movie musical Thoroughly Modern Millie starring...
it looked so perky, I wanted to puke.
Oh, no, it's... okay, so it's
watching.
Actually really good. The cast is... it's Julie Andrews, it's...
mm-hmm.
God, what's her name? Carol Channing.
Like, as I was saying.
I'm like a little... yeah, no, it's... but it's actually really, really good. But there's one character who
is Sandy Duncan
is...
in it, too. Kidding.
But, like, there's one character that, like, that, like, how they play this character is,
mm-hmm.
like... racist, a white person playing a Asian woman, and legitimately at one point saying "Ching Chong, Ching Chong."
Oh, this is like a Breakfast
so
at
like,
Tiffany's with Mickey
yes.
Rooney.
Oh,
Mickey
okay.
Rooney. So
yeah.
that, so like, I'm like, Dita's not doing
no.
that level of racism, and I think that in time, things will settle down, and we will figure out.
Well, she's not even
divides.
Doing. She's not even doing that level of race. I just
no.
don't see it as race on the
I just
scale.
Feel like she's
well, and like,
a,
well, like
a
women
time
like Tara
Satana,
who was one of her, I assume one of her huge icons.
I'm sure of it.
Like, well, you can tell in everything that she does that Tara Satana is one of her icons and a like very proud Asian woman burlesque performer. Like, you can see that that is a point of reference for her. Like, if you know
there's
Tara Satana and you look
the
at the photos of Tara
to...
from back then, she's doing very much a Tara-inspired moment. And Tara really shapes a lot of people's burlesque careers. Like, Selena Luna's fucking Smaller Pussycat Kill Kill number is still one of my favorite things that... has ever hit Behoff, her coming out in that little motorcycle dressed as Tara and Faster Pussycat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think all these things are so...
Well, also to keep in mind, it's not like she just decided to pick some music and, like, grabbed a bed sheet and ran out on stage. It's meant
she had
a lot of fucking thought and research and time and construction and, like, planning to pull off this epic spectacle. It's not just, like, a cardboard cutout show. Like,
no,
no it's
she
a
had
real
the entire
bed
wedding
too.
Chinese wedding bed made
oh,
and
I love Chinese wedding beds are so beautiful.
And then the track, the Cure song,
mm-hmm.
taken and done in a cover with, I don't know that instrument's name, but like there's always those men in the New York City subways
mm-hmm.
playing.
It's similar
it's like
to
a
sitar, but
yeah,
it's
like
it's
a
different
three-string
yeah.
instrument that's played with a bow,
and
it's like a Cure cover done on that, and it's like.
Yeah.
Elevated.
So, yeah, it's
really tough.
Is.
It's tough because
it is.
I'm always like, you know, whenever I say something, I'm like, oh God, somebody's gonna disagree or argue. And it's kind of like, it's kind of okay. I think it's important that everyone has their own opinion. But I think that it would be.
It doesn't have to get so heated.
It doesn't have to get heated. And also, it would be so unfortunate if someone on this planet wasn't doing something of a beautiful spectacle like that. It'd be so unfortunate.
Yeah.
So it's like, who? If she's not gonna do it, who else?
Well,
right.
I know that Dita has been, like, slowly kind of having other people use her props.
Yeah.
Like, as of late, like, Dirty is...
Dirty and Ginger on her heart. And...
Ginger on the heart was so good on the
yeah.
last tour. So, so, so beautiful. And she's so hot. And she did that heart such amazing justice.
Yeah.
And then Dirty is coming with one of Dita's props.
Carousel Horse.
The Carousel Horse on the West Coast
Ooh.
Tour.
Ooh!
Yeah, and she showed me like a piece of her costume for it.
I can't wait to see Miss Martini on that.
It's gonna be beautiful. So I'm hoping that maybe the next incarnation of the Art of the Tease tour, she gets someone like maybe my ideal pick would be Calamity Chang to get.
Love Calamity. Like,
and you know who I heard is gonna be hosting?
Is it not Murray?
No, I heard it's a. Can I say it out loud? Is this not?
Is this industry talk that we can't say on things?
I wasn't. Told.
I think it's. I don't know if it's.
I just haven't heard. Okay, so maybe.
Why?
Who it is?
I think it's Johnny McGovern.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been like announced, but
really.
Little bird told me.
Oh, because she's done.
So, folks, this is hearsay.
This is hearsay. Not, do not hold
this is just speculation. Don't. Hold me to this.
But if you do have a complaint, Velocity's email, her personal email.
Stop, no, stop.
Here's her
stop
phone
it.
Number, her house address.
No.
But no, that's interesting.
Yeah. I worked with him back in the 90s at Surf Reality. And then he created this character who was this obsessed Velocity Child fan.
Oh my god.
Like, based on Marilyn Manson fans.
Oh my god.
It was this teenage girl. It was so funny. It was one of the biggest compliments I ever got.
That's cool.
Because she did. He has.
He does the gay pimp.
Yeah, but he has his. What is it? Hey Queen Network.
That's my character. She was talking about.
He has Hey Queen. His show that he does on YouTube that actually because of YouTube's blocks on LGBT content and making them mature content.
Oh no.
Did you not hear about this?
So no.
YouTube went through all of their content and now LGBT content is considered adult and you have to be over 18 and logged into an account to see it. So Hey Queen had to take a break because their content is all blocked and that's Johnny McGovern's show. So he has Hey Queen and Dita.
Vimeo, man.
Dita was recently on his Hey Queen show.
Ah, okay.
So that would make sense, and at least I'll make all this hearsay at least sound a little more legitimate or plausible. But that's fun. Now I'm like, oh, do I fly out to?
It'll be interesting because he's so racy.
He's fun. I love a faggot.
He's always made me laugh my fucking ass.
I love a faggot. I love a good faggot.
And a proud faggot.
Yeah, and he is. I love, like, the Hey Queen show is funny, and it's nice because he doesn't exclusively have Drag Race girls. He has a lot of Drag Race girls on it, but he doesn't exclusively do that. Mm. Like, he's had Bible Girl, who's a New York girl, who she's like an Instagram queen, but she has Instagram clout, and he's like had her on the show, so he respects girls outside of the Drag Race realm, which is kind of a hard thing personally being a drag queen to fight, because I at this point have no desire to be on Drag Race at all. I would kind of rather have my career go in the direction of a Varla Jean Merman, Jackie B, Peaches Christ, instead of who I love, like Sharon Riddle, Tchotchke, like I'm like,
sure.
I don't want that immediate thrown to the wolves success that can go either way. And
you still want the options of developing.
Exactly. I want to build
in
what
the
I
way
want
you want
build
to grow
up
yeah.
to whatever.
You know, I also think it's important to keep in mind, and I have to tell myself this sometimes, it's not a fucking race. I have my entire life to make my art. I don't want to take it, like, casual.
Yes, there's no stopwatch on your future.
There's no... It's not like, oh, well, you know what? Until you're...
I'm going to Dietrich. Once I get
only,
ugly.
Only God knows the stopwatch.
Once I get ugly, I will Dietrich myself and hide.
Yo, who?
Marlene Dietrich.
Oh, you mean Garbo.
No, Dietrich did
it. No, I'll just put those...
Dietrich did it, too?
So when Dietrich got, like, the lore is that she had
just get rest of it.
Latex... like bodysuit that she would wear under her Nude Illusion gowns, and when the latex bodysuit didn't fit anymore is when she stopped performing live and went into hiding
she
and no one would see
it. Bodysuit.
It was to like
oh,
suck
yeah.
it all in and like cause she started in the 1920s and she was still performing in the late 1960s into the 70s, and pretty much when she lost her what she thought was her beauty and her body and her looks, she went into hiding and she lived in our apartment in Paris, and her family were the only people that saw her. No one would see, she chain smoked till the day she died. No one would see what she looked like for those last however many years, because she died in what, like 90?
Lily St. Cyr did that too.
Oh, did she?
She was known for that.
Mm.
I saw a burlesque documentary that discussed how she really went into deep hiding, and some of her burlesque sisters were really sad. They wanted to come and visit her, wanted to come, her to come out with them, and
yeah,
and she just
Joey saw Marlena in her apartment.
Who?
Joey Arias.
Oh my god!
He said
god.
He was going to
no,
a party. Yeah, he said he was going to a party and knocked on the door. This little woman poked her head through. I was like, hello. And Joey was like,
oh my
god.
God.
He said it was her.
I need to talk to Joey.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love Joey Arias.
I love Joey Arias. Joey Arias, the biggest compliment I ever
received. He's one of my favorite queens
of
all time.
He is, well, like, I, for your show, the
I was so excited
Badass
that
does drag. I came and did a Joey Arias number.
As you know, I'm a Billie Holiday freak.
Yes, and so that's was part of, well, I wanted to do, it was either Lip Synca or
and
Joey.
And your look was flawless.
I have to say, I do a really good Joey. I will toot my own horn. When I had black hair, I had Joey down pat. Like, it was... Well, because he and I used to run into each other... Or not run into... We'd see each other every week at Suzanne Barsh's... Soho Grand party a few years ago. She ran it for a couple years during kind of the winter months on Tuesdays.
Uh-huh.
She would do this, like, salon at the Soho Grand, and Joey would come and sing every week, and Amanda would come and sing every week, and it was really, like, it was a good time. And one time, I went to the bathroom, and Joey and I in the ladies' room. So two drag queens in the ladies' room walk up to the mirror, and I'm, like, fixing my lipstick or something, and she was, like, fixing her lipstick or something. And then she turns to me and goes, "Ah, we just look like we could be sisters." And in my head, I was like... Yes, from very different aged mothers, but yes, sisters. Because she's, like, I started doing drag because of her and Lip Synca and Vampyra, who I think is, like, an original bio queen. I did it because of that, and when I met Lip Synca, it was the biggest disappointment of my life. She was...
That's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I just pulled up a picture.
There is a hint of Amanda in there.
Of Joey. See what you made me do? Of severely maimed as Joey Arias.
Wow.
With Cornelius Loy, who is Joey's theremin player.
Yes.
So
Cornelius is one of the sweetest people I've ever known.
He is one of the sweetest people. And so I did my Joey Arias drag for that. And I started drag because of Joey and Lip Synca, and I really, like, felt so into what the two of them did. Like, I was really, really into it, and when I met Lip Synca, it was the biggest disappointment because she was so mean. She was, like, mean, mean, mean. But Joey was just so amazing, and that, like, redeemed it to fix what Lip Synca fucked up.
Yeah. What lipstick of fuck?
Well, because, like, I'm very vocal about how mean Lip Synca
was.
It's
funny, somebody did Lip Synca that night.
Well, because I wanted to do Lip Synca, and then someone else took it, and I can't remember who it was.
Hold on. I'm clicking on the photo. It'll tell me. Lefty Lucy.
Yes, Lefty Lucy did Lip Synca.
And quite a psychotically good job of it.
It was good. And I really wanted to do Lip Synca, and... Then she got it first, and that was fine.
I'm so glad you
then did
Joey.
I did Joey, and I was like, oh, you know what? It's better because I actually love Joey and Lip Synca. When I saw her show in the East Village a couple years ago, she did she did three different shows. She did like a month long run of them, and. I met her at, like, someone
brought me... Is this one of those situations where they say, you know, it's not always wise to meet your heroes?
Well, and that's... I think Joey made me think it would be fine, because I met Joey and it was great. Mm-hmm. And then I met Lip Synca, and she was such
What'd she say to
bitch.
You?
Well, she... Because I went and dragged, because this was still the point where I didn't want people to know what I looked like as a boy. So if I was going to something public-ish, I'd go and drag. So I went and dragged. If I didn't come in an overtop outfit. I came in like a leopard print dress and like it wasn't like anything crazy.
Subtle.
So I guess the leopard print dress isn't okay.
Whatever. You and leopard print.
So I just love leopard print. So
meet
then
the power
I
of
get
leopard print.
Joe Boobs.
Yes.
And so I went to the after party with someone and I lip-sync ignored me the entire time and then I finally went up to her. And Lady Bunny was DJing, and Lady Bunny and I were, like, kikiing and chatting all night, and
mm-hmm.
it was fun, and she was super nice, and it was the first time I met her,
mm-hmm.
And Lady Bunny and I were having a great time, and then I was tried to talk to Lipsinka, and she just, like, tried to find any way out of the conversation as fast as possible, and just, I was like, oh, okay, so you avoided eye contact or talking to me the entire night, and then when I did, like, finally tell you that you were a huge inspiration to me, you just blew me off completely and ran away as fast as you could. And I was like, okay, you're a bitch.
I've had two heroes do that to me and it was
Who
really...
are they?
No, I'm not going to say. I can't.
Are they still alive?
Well, Velocity,
yes.
I apologize
that
one time. I do apologize.
Oh my God.
But my Chick-fil-A was getting cold.
That would make us all agitated, don't worry.
I have to say, I'm very pleased with our company tonight. The mojo was really beautiful.
Oh my gosh, this
I know,
was
the show
fantastic.
Could be double the length. Like, we could just keep going.
We could.
I mean, they might not listen, but we'll
but
keep
we
talking.
Just keep
yeah, it
talking.
Would be like a four-parter.
just keep talking for weeks.
But heads up, where are you? Where can we find you? So they know.
Oh, on social media-wise, you can find me Instagram at gorgeousboylesque. And, I every now and then post when I'm doing shows there. If not, you can just see, you got it, girl.
Sadie.
You can just see pictures of my butt there.
And they're worth looking at, so go follow.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God to that Amaro filter.
And
I use Valentina?
Valentina, we don't use her anymore.
You can still use Valencia. The hot sauce.
Valencia.
Oh, Valencia, that's the one.
Where
and,
do we
and
find
the
Valentine?
Stunning, and the, and, oh. these, and the stunning... Severely Maine.
You can find me on Instagram at Severely Maine, or I guess you could try Twitter. I'm not very good at it. I did just try and tweet this week, so also at Severely Maine. every Tuesday, I host bingo at Booby Trap in Bushwick, and I show up wherever I feel like, so look at my Instagram.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for
Thank
having
you.
Us.
And listeners, if you like what you hear and you want to support independent, censorship-free radio, please donate to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. You can donate as little as a dollar a month. And I'm Velocity Child. This is Fallen Woman. And archive episodes can be found at fallenwoman.com. I love you guys.
Love you.
Let's get on that balcony.
Yeah. If they donate more, I'll come back.
Oh yeah.
Donate more than a dollar a month. If you don't,
yes.
Donate $6.66.
Dollar menu. Give me on the dollar menu.
Cheers to that.